Week and talking about what is the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And we're going to give a little bit of review of what we talked about last week and then continue on talking about what is the Bible. This is Stand for the Bible month. It was last month. It's going to be this month. Two tremendous DVDs coming up on the King James Bible. And I hope you'll be here for those. Both going back to the manuscripts and what the manuscripts are all about. And that's in itself is going to be a detailed explanation of why we trust the King James Bible. By the way, in your bulletin, you have a comparison. And we studied that a little bit on Wednesday. There's a whole lot more there that you can study. But I do trust that you'll be here, and we do show the videos on the King James Bible talking about why we trust it, the manuscripts that it comes from, and why it's superior. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. And then I want you to read verse 17 with me, and then we'll pick up where we left off last week dealing with what is the Bible. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." And we saw that's the position to stand in. You want to be strong in the Lord, and you want to be strong in his might. And then we saw, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We saw that's the position to stand against. By the way, the devil is very slick in what he does. He will try to connive you, and he will try to deceive you into doing his will. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Then we saw the potential to stand against. "Wherefore," verse 13, "take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore." So Paul says, verse number 10, church at Ephesus, you have a position to stand in. He says, church of Ephesus, verse 11 and 12, you have a position to stand against. It's against the forces of evil and the forces of darkness. And he said, you've got the potential, church, to stand against it, according to verse number 13, if you withstand with the armor of God. Nothing is of yours. Everything's provided by God Almighty. The only thing you have to do is take it and put it on. You don't take it, you don't put it on, you'll be defenseless. Yes, sir. And when you're defenseless, bad things happen to you spiritually. Read verse 17 with me. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." He says, I'm giving you the things that you need, and this is one of those areas you need. You need the helmet of salvation. You need to know that you're saved and then live like you're saved and act like you're saved. Then he says, the sword of the Spirit. He said, there is a sword that you can use to fight. It's a double-edged sword, cuts both ways. But it is the sword of the Spirit. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Holy Spirit of God. And you can't understand it without this book called the Word of God. And by the way, to try and operate it on your own, you'll cut somebody up. You'll injure somebody. But you let the Spirit of God use this through you, and you'll be surprised at the results that God will give you. Amen. I'm so glad he's given us his word. And I'm so glad he's given us his spirit to control it. Amen. What are we up against? Be able to stand, be able to withstand. Amen. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Many casualties are in the Christian warfare today. You know them. I know them. People that you know, people that you serve with, people that you know in other lands and other countries and other states and other churches have fallen. Already, God does not want you and I to fall. And so he's given us everything that we need to stand. The question is, will we stand? Father, bless now in the morning. As we talk more about what is the Bible, Lord, you've given it to us. We're standing for it. We're fighting for it. But Lord, we're not fighting in our own power. The goal is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The goal is to put on the whole armor of God. We may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Thank you, Lord. You've warned us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But Lord, you warned us it's principalities, it's powers, it's rulers of the darkness of this world. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. We cannot fight it on our own, nor can we understand it. But I'm so glad that you said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. We can withstand if we have the armor. And if we let the Spirit of God use it, we have the helmet of salvation on. The Word of God will do its job through the Spirit's call. Help us today, Lord, to stand firm, to stand tall, to stand in the Word, and to fight for what you've given us. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you that Paul wrote this to the church and the churches at Ephesus, that they might stand and withstand in the day. Help us now to stand in this church in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Brother Jesse has our special this morning.
Simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I face my greatest fears. See, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to see night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, my God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. Oh, I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best way I can say it is this: my God's been good in my life. Feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. My God's been good.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jesse. God's been good. If you can identify with God being good in your life, say amen.
Hey.
Amen. I tell you what, I go back and how good God has been in my life, and it's just amazing how miraculous He has been, not just saving me, but keeping me and moving me and instructing me. And I tell you, I can't get away from the goodness of God. Amen. God has just been good to me. Praise God. Glad he's been good to you as well. Amen. We're going to continue talking about what is the Bible as we continue on in the Stand for the Bible month. You know, there's far too many people that are turning in their Bibles for a counterfeit. And that's why we're studying that on Wednesday. And furthermore, when you look at the different counterfeits that are out there, you know, they seem to take Jesus out more. They take Christ out more. They take God out more. They take a lot of things out. They take the blood out. And you've got a pamphlet talking about that. And that is not going to help us at all. Amen. What we need is to stand for the Bible. But, you know, the Bible's whole purpose and whole reason is to detail to you and I the mind of God, to identify the purposes of God, to understand the Son of God. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. By the way, he is from the beginning. You'll find him in Genesis. You'll see him in Revelations. He's all throughout the Bible. And by the way, Jesus died for the church. And he is operating in and through his church. Ephesians is written to none other than the churches, amen, at Ephesus, amen. And so God wants the churches to know what he is doing, amen. And by the way, you can be an individual person out there, and that's okay. But let me tell you something, if you're an individual soldier, you won't win the battle. Last time I checked, the military was a collection of service members, not one member at all. Amen. And anytime you get into this warfare, you're going to need soldiers to back you up, just like our military needs soldiers to back him up. And by the way, the Air Force can't do its job without the Army. The Army can't do its job without the Navy. The Navy can't do its job without the Marines. What am I saying? This book, the Bible, is about the exposing the mind of God for the purpose of God to reveal the Son of God. And the Son of God is working through his church that he died for. Somebody say amen. Amen. This was written to the book of Ephesus was written to the Christians at Ephesus, to the churches that were there. And it was for a reason, so that they could do the work of God for the Lord Jesus Christ and they could see other people saved. Amen. And you've got to realize and recognize that this book, the Christian is dead without this book.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. Why? Because this book exposes who and what we are and tells us that we need Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when you look at what he is saying here in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And last week we began talking about what is the Bible? What is the Bible? And we found out that the word Bible, ironically, is not in the Bible. But we also said the word Trinity is not there either, but your principle is, amen. We also see the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the principle is there, amen. And so just because the word's not there doesn't mean anything, amen. We saw our English word Bible comes from Biblia in Latin and Biblios in the Greek, which mean book or the books. We also saw the Bible is a compilation of 66 such books, amen, written over a period of about 1,500 years by about 40 different people, yet it's one book and it's preeminent over all other books, amen, and it's still the best-selling book. Why? It's got the best person in it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And so we began to look at that last week. By the way, I read your poem last night. The poem last week was called The Bible. This one is called The Christian and his Bible. Now, I don't know about you. I love my Bible.
Yes, sir.
I love my Bible.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you can tell I love my Bible.
Here it is.
I've worn it out. Amen.
Yes, sir, Pastor Dawson.
And I tell you what, I'm so glad that I've got other Bibles at home, but I love this one.
Amen, Pastor.
I love this one. And it's something about this Bible. And it's something about the Christian and his Bible. Notice the poem. The author is unknown on this one. This poem says, I find my Lord in the Bible, wherever I chance to look. He is the theme of the Bible, the center and heart of the book. He is the rose of Sharon, he's the lily fair. Wherever I open my Bible, the Lord of the Bible is there. He at the book's beginning gave to the earth its form. He is the ark of shelter, bearing the brunt of the storm. The burning bush of the desert, the budding of Aaron's rod. Wherever I look in the Bible, I see the Son of God. The ram upon Mount Moriah, the ladder from earth to sky. the scarlet cord in the window and the serpent lifted high. The smitten rock in the desert, the shepherd with staff and crook. The face of my Lord I discover wherever I open the book. He is the seed of the woman, the Savior, virgin born. He is the son of David, whom men rejected with scorn. His garments of grace and beauty, the stately Aaron deck. Yet he is a priest forever, for he is Melchizedek. He's Lord of eternal glory, whom John in a vision saw. Light of the golden city, lamb without spot or flaw. Bridegroom coming at midnight, for whom the virgins look. Wherever I open my Bible, I find my Lord in the book. Amen. Author unknown. I think that's very fitting of the Christian and his Bible. You say, preacher, why? Because you can find Jesus on just about every page of the book. Woven throughout the Old Testament, woven throughout the Gospels, woven throughout the prophets, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ there. We said the book or the Bible is divided into two main sections, the Old and the New Testaments, which stands for covenant, contract, or agreement. The two testaments or covenants or agreements designated the relationship that existed between God and his people. Beyond those two designations of Old and New Testament, we said that the Old Testament or the Pentateuch or the law is there. The historical books are there in the Old Testament. The poetry and wisdom books are there. The books of prophecy or major and minor prophets are there. Coming over to the New Testament, we find the Gospels there. The New Testament history is there in Acts. The epistles or letters of Paul are there written to the churches. The general epistles or letters are there written to the scattered Christians. And the New Testament prophet of Revelation is there in the divisions of Old and New Testaments. God, each way, each time period, detailing how he's dealing with mankind. By the way, knowing dispensations will tell you he dealt with men differently from dispensation to dispensation. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? He didn't deal with Adam and Eve the same way he deals with us. He didn't deal with Noah the same way he deals with us. Matter of fact, he said he's never going to flood the earth anymore. Amen. This time he says he's going to destroy it by fire. Amen. He doesn't deal with us the way he dealt with Old Testament Israel. It's different. He didn't deal with Abraham the same way, although Abraham and Noah both found grace. Amen. So they weren't saved by keeping of the law. They were saved by grace. And you come over to the New Testament. Jesus Christ said, I am he in whom you seek. Matter of fact, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, you see Christ woven, and by the way, he's coming back to uphold that same word. And so we saw the Old Testament, the Jews kept by law. The New Testament, the Christians performed by love. The Old Testament law, the Jews had to do to be right before God. The New Testament, Christians demonstrate by love to show they are already right before God. So what is the Bible or the book? When speaking of God's written collective words, its most widely used terms were the Word of God and the Scriptures or Scripture. And we began to look at that last week. Say, preacher, what did we see? We saw that the Bible is the Word of God. That's what it is. It's the Word of God. And we find that listed numerous times. The Word of God is listed over 40 times. And you find also the phrase word of the Lord listed 255 times throughout the Bible. And the word of the Lord signifies divine authority and is used frequently. The word of God. Now think about it. You can't get any more authoritative than the word of God. Amen. That's what got Jesus in trouble with the Jews. When he started to say, I am, and started quoting things, they said, you can't make yourself even with God. He said, yes, I can, because I am. I am. And that's all he had to say. And that's why they said, thou speakest blasphemy. No, he didn't. He spoke the truth. Fact was, they didn't want to accept the truth. We found out when it came to the Bible being the Word of God, we have our belief in God by the Word of God or the Bible. Romans 10:17, we saw. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. We find that we battle by the Word of God or the Bible, Ephesians 6:17, which we just read, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We found that we have our baggage exposed by the Word of God or the Bible. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the what? Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. By the way, you got saved by the Word of God. You got saved by the Word of God going deep into your heart and exposing your sinful self before Almighty God, and you repented of your sins. If you didn't repent of your sins, my friend, you didn't get saved. Hey, the churches are filled with unregenerated people. They're filled with people that have never been born again. Me and Jesse just visited a guy just recently, and he said he's saved. He knows Jesus Christ. When I said, have you been born again? He said, I don't even know what that is. So when the Bible said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, well, I don't know what that is. He said, it's semantics. I said, no, it's not semantics. It's the Savior.
Yes, sir, Pastor, it is.
See, semantics is the way you say something, the way it's interpreted. No. It's the Savior. Except the man be born again. Peter said being born again.
Yes, sir.
It's about being born again. Yes, my friend, churches are filled with people that are not saved. Mm-hmm. Why? What else can you contribute to the mass confusion in churches today? What else can you contribute then other than Satan coming in and playing the shell game with religious beliefs? Yeah. Satan is having his way. What does it say? The wiles of the devil. Hey, what did he do? He came in the wilderness when Jesus was what? Weak.
Yes.
And he tempted him with something that in and of itself is not wrong. Command these stones to be made bread. When you're hungry, nothing wrong with that at all. But when you do it at the devil's request, there's a whole lot wrong with that. And the devil right now is playing a shell game with Christians. Why? They're not standing in the church. They're not standing for God. They're not standing in the Bible. They think they know, but they don't know. Amen. And so we found out that we have our baggage exposed by the Word of God. People are just not being born again the way they ought to be. Say, preacher, that's your fault. No, I can't save anybody from the beginning. Jesus does the saving. I can only give the gospel out. And Michael and Martin laughing. I can't. I can save them from drowning, maybe. Amen. They're in 2 feet of water. That's about it. So we saw that the Bible is the Word of God. So what is the Bible? The Bible is the Scripture. Or scriptures as well. The word scripture is found 32 times. And the word scripture is found 21 times, referring to the Word of God, the Bible. The word scripture means a document of holy writ or holy writings. Go over to Romans with me. If you're in Ephesians, just go back. And notice what Paul writes to the Christians in Rome. Romans chapter number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy what? Scriptures. Say, preacher, what are the scriptures? The Bible, the Word of God. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you recall this or not, but they did not have the gospels. They did not have the books of 1st and 2nd Peter and Timothy and Titus and Philemon. They did not have the revelations. All they had was the scriptures, which consisted of the law and the prophets. That's what they had. And so he said, which had he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Notice verse 3. Concerning who? His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is it all about? Jesus Christ. He says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Why is that important? Because God promised David back in the Old Testament that he would give him a seed to sit on his throne. Who is that seed? Jesus Christ. When was that prophesied? In the scriptures. When did it come to fulfillment? It is in the future. Now he's already the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's not physically sitting on that throne as of yet. But he will be. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Now, by the way, whether you accept him as the Son of God matters not. He's still the Son of God. Amen. And he still has power. According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The apostle says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, we are to be his messengers or sent ones for obedience for the faith among all nations. For whose name? His name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, speaking to the Christians in Rome. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, you know what? This is already foretold in the Scriptures. What is the Scriptures? The Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Bible. Jesus questioned their reading of the Bible or the Scriptures as well. Go over to Matthew 21. What are we talking about? What is the Bible? It's the Scriptures. It's the Scriptures. Matthew 21 and verse 42. Go there with me. Jesus questioned their reading. By the way, you can quickly tell someone that's getting in their Bible, and you can quickly tell someone that's just a reader from someone that's a doer. Hey, you've got to read it. Amen. But it does you no good to read if you don't do. I can buy me a brand new TV. Guess what? It comes with some instructions. If I don't read the instructions, I'll not know how to fully operate that television. Like I don't fully know how to operate the one I got at home.
Yeah.
And folks say, don't you have a smart TV? Yes, but it doesn't have a smart owner. Amen.
Amen.
And so to have a smart TV, that's good. But you got to know how to operate the smart TV. And it comes with instructions. Amen. The Bible comes with instructions. And when you get saved, there's instructions. And it does you no good to read if you don't do. Notice Matthew 21 and read with me down in verse 42 because he's speaking to the religious crowd here. He says, matter of fact, come to verse 41. Then they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Now he's speaking about what's going to happen to the nation of Israel. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the what? Scriptures. What is that? The Bible, the Word of God. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. It was already foretelling what they were going to do with Jesus when he came. They said, you cannot reject the cornerstone and have a successful building. Why? It'll fall. No more than you can have a successful life if you reject me, who is the cornerstone. You'll fall. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Guess what? Give you a secret. The nation that it was given to is the church. The church. You read Romans chapter 11. 9, 10, 11. And Paul details very eloquently, 9, 10, 11, why Jesus took the Jews and put them on the shelf and gave the leadership to the church. He says, it's going to be taken from you and given to another. And in Acts, you find that happening in chapter 2. And the church, as we know it today, got the power and the authority to evangelize the world because the Jews didn't. What am I saying? Jesus questioned their reading of the Bible or the Scriptures. He says, you may be able to read it, but do you understand what it's talking about? It's going to be taken from you and given to somebody else. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Notice verse 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. You know why they perceived that? Because he was. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. They say, you're speaking about us? You're speaking about our tabernacles and our priestly temples and our buildings and our religious way of doing things? How dare you? We'll take you. But if it wasn't for them people. Guess what? Jesus don't need them people. When they came to take him in the garden, he said, whom seekest thou? He said, Jesus Christ. He said, I am he. Pow! They all fell down. He doesn't need people. But that was their excuse. Well, it wasn't for the people. We would take you. You ever heard that? So if they wouldn't, if they hadn't held me back, I would have did something. Hold me back, y'all. You better be glad they got my hand. Or else I'd do something. Oh, y'all, don't let go. Don't let go. No, they said, let him go. A coward. They were cowards. So the word scripture was used to describe the Bible. Jesus questioned their reading of the Bible or the Scriptures. But then Jesus said we can err not knowing the Bible or the Scriptures. Go over to chapter 22. Because a lot of people that read the Bible, but they are in error. 22. And the religious leaders were the culprits here. Chapter 22. I want you to notice verse number 29 with me. Because he's answering the Sadducees here. Matter of fact, start in verse number 28 because they come up with this fictitious question. Matter of fact, go back to 23 where it all starts at. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and that's why they're sad, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. By the way, that was a part of their law. If the brother died, then somebody had to go and raise up seed. That was part of the Mosaic law. That's something they had to do. By the way, aren't y'all glad we don't have to do that anymore?
Amen.
If that were the case, man, we'd be in trouble. Carmen had a sister die. I don't have to do anything like that. But guess what? That was the law. Hey, if the brother, if somebody died, somebody had to go in and keep that name going. Somebody had to go in and keep it going. Now, I'm just using it as an illustration. I'm not saying that. Amen.
Amen.
But that was part of the law. But notice what Jesus goes on to say here. Say verse 25. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, unto the seventh, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, now wait a minute, the Sadducees say there is no resurrection. So why ask the question about the resurrection if there is no resurrection? They're trying to catch Jesus in a trap. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? Jesus, master, smart person. Why? For they all had her. And what did Jesus come back and say about the scriptures or the Bible or the word of God? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do, what's that word? Err. The word err means this. Very interesting definition. To go astray. So in other words, he said, you are going astray. It means to deceive. You are being deceived. It means to seduce. You have been seduced. It means to wander. You are wandering. It means to be out of the way. He says, you are going out of the way. Why are you going out of the way? Not knowing the, what's that word? Scriptures. Nor the power of God. He said, you don't have a clue what you're talking about because you don't understand what's going on here. It's not about the law because the law is already going to get put away when I go to the cross. That's got nothing to do with this. But notice what he says. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. He said, it doesn't matter. Because they're going to be like the angels. They're not going to marry. Guess what? Do you know who our bride is going to be in heaven? The Lord Jesus. Or I should say, we're his bride. He said, I can't be a bride. I'm a man. In the church, it doesn't matter. He says, neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. It's neither circumcision or uncircumcision. We're all one in Christ, he said. Doesn't matter. So it's not about the law. It's about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ towards us. He says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection, if you want to bring that up, of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, which I might say the word of God, the scriptures, the Bible, the word of God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the what? Living. The living. So he says, you do err not knowing the scriptures. He says, you're going to be in error. By the way, there's a lot of good, well-meaning Christians in error. Mm-hmm. A lot of good, well-meaning Christians in error. I still think about the guy when I first got saved and I invited him out to my baptism. And I said, hey, look, I got saved. I'm getting baptized. Well-meaning. He was a security police. And he said, you're not really saved all the way until you get baptized. And I said, what? Are you kidding me? I said, I think I got everything that I'm supposed to get. Now, I wasn't savvy about the Bible. I didn't know a whole lot. I said, wait a minute. You mean tell me if I die right now, I'm not going to go to heaven? He said, no. But, sir, he said, but God might have grace on you. Oh. For by grace are you saved through faith. Mm-hmm. He said, well, God may have grace, but you're not really all the way saved yet until you get baptized. Now, I never heard that before. I heard of people being baptized to be saved, but I thought when it came to me, I had something different because somebody had told me I had eternal life. But now this guy said I wasn't saved all the way. I thought, well, what did I get? Natasha's laughing. You wasn't in the church that I was in. And so he said, now be very careful. Drive real slow. Go to speed limit. Because if you're in an accident, you're not going to be going to heaven. And I looked at him and I thought, I don't know what boat you came over on, but I don't think it had good sails. I think you sniffed too much salt water. You're a little salty about this thing. And I thought, I went back and looked at my Bible. For whosoever shall call upon it should be saved. And I give unto them eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now it's a gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall have everlasting life. That settles it. Now I don't know what you have, but you know what he had? Air. Air. And by the way, there are religions on top of religions that teach works salvation. And they have erred, not knowing the scriptures. I mean, there's tons of them out there. They believe these things and they live these things. And the worst part, they make people keep these things. Amen. To think they're saved when the Bible clearly says, for by grace are you saved through faith. By the way, Noah found grace. Abraham believed God and was counted righteous for him. David fell on God's grace and mercy. So it's always been about God's grace.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And so they erred, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. By the way, I'll give you this. Men, it's up to you and I to know the word of God, because the Bible says that we're the leaders of our families. The Bible never told wives to lead the husbands. It said husbands are to lead the wives. You read the Bible. You do err not knowing the scriptures. You say, why am I not successfully, spiritually successful? Who's leading the show? Now, it's not to say that wives aren't good leaders. It's to say that God didn't call them to be the leaders. He called the husbands to be the leaders. Now, if there's not a man in the house, I can understand that. But if there's a saved husband in the house, guess what? The Bible calls him to be the leader. These leaders were in error being the leaders of the church here at this time, or the priests, or the tabernacle. And so that's why he said, it's going to be taken away from you. You guys don't have a clue. By the way, you don't want to have what you have taken away from you. Jesus questioned their reading of the Bible or the scriptures. Jesus said we can err not knowing the Bible. But Jesus also said the scriptures point to him. Go over to John chapter 5 and verse 39. What are we talking about here? The Bible is the word of God. It's also the scriptures. John chapter 5. And this is the area I just quoted to you not too long ago. John chapter 5, and again, dealing with the religious crowd, Jesus was very, very hard on them. Why? They were the leaders. And so he said, this is what I'm going to tell you. Notice what it says down there in verse number 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. And notice what he says. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light, speaking to John the Baptist. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Why? Because the Jews sought for what? A sign. He said, I've given you a sign. I've done works. And you still don't believe me. He said, the Gentiles or the Greeks seek wisdom. He said, but Jews seek a sign. He said, I've done the works. He said, John testified of me. That wasn't enough. I did works. They testified of me. That's still not enough. Notice what he says down there in verse number, the rest of that. He says, verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shame. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him ye believe not. Notice verse 39. Search the scriptures. Search the what? The scriptures. What is that? The Bible, the word of God. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You try to tell that to a lost person, they will look at you like you are crazy. You say the Bible is testifying of Jesus Christ. It's letting you know it's him you need. The Bible just tells us who he is. The Bible just tells us how to find him. The Bible just tells us who we are and why we need him. The scriptures just reveal to you and I who God is and who we are and why we need him. That's all they do. And it's a manual to tell us how to practically live and how to principally live to bring others to him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This book will keep you out of trouble. This book will give you a clean testimony. This book will give you the ability to bring others. By the way, the only reason God hadn't taken you and I home is because he wants us to be a witness.
Amen.
All throughout here, what did he say? John was my witness. My works are a witness. The scriptures are my witness. And my job is to bring people to God. And that's what he did. The scriptures. He says, search the scriptures, in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. He said, I don't need you to honor me. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Be careful. You don't receive the word of God and the truth of God, you receive a lie. Amen.
Amen.
The Pharisees did. The Sadducees did. The priests did. The scribes did. If you don't receive him, you'll receive somebody that's not him. Come on now.
Amen.
Why do you think the false gospels and the cults flourish so much? Why do you think Satanism is still popular? If you don't receive Jesus Christ, you will receive someone else. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't receive the way, you'll receive another way. If you don't receive the gospel, as Paul said, you'll receive another gospel. If you don't receive this word, you receive another word. Amen. It is what it is, folks. You say, preacher, I don't like that. But you don't have to like it. It's still true. Yeah, it's still true. Jesus pointed to the scriptures and he said, that is testifying of me. I'm not going to go back to John chapter 7, but I'll read this for you because the word scripture is also used to describe the Bible. In John chapter 7, in verse 37, the Bible reads as such, and you don't have to turn there if you don't get there. The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. First it was scriptures, but now as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And it goes on to say this in verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Verse 42, hath not the scripture said, what is that? The Old Testament scripture, that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. So there was a division among the people because of him. By the way, there'll be a division if you don't believe the Bible. It's as simple as that. Well, I believe it this way, but do you believe it God's way in its context? Well, I believe this. There's always going to be a division when you and I don't accept what God says for what it's worth and take the context together and put it all together. I'm sorry. Why do you think there's so many Baptists now? Well, I don't like you, and I don't like there's a group in town, bless their hearts, they mean well, Arizona Independent Baptist Fellowship. Good group of men. Good group of men. But they branched off from another group of Arizona Baptists because they didn't like what those Baptists did. And they said, why don't you be a part of us? I said, you got to be kidding me. I don't belong to an organization, and I'm not going to start belonging to one. Y'all get people in trouble. Because as soon as I come over here to your meeting, all those guys in that meeting are going to say, you're with them. And as soon as I come over here to this one, all you guys are going to say, you're with them. I said, I'm just going to be with Jesus. I'm just going to be independent. And they invited me to preach for them a couple months ago. And I went up there and I said, look, I know I don't attend y'all meetings, but I don't know why you want me to come up here and preach. I guess so I would attend their meeting. Amen. We're going to get you up here one way or another. Amen. And they got me up there to preach. Amen. But I'm still not a member. Why? I'll preach the Bible to anybody that's going to listen. I'll give the gospel to anybody who's willing to listen to the gospel, but I'm not going to be a part of this organization. And so there's always going to be a division when the Bible, it comes into question, when it comes to Jesus Christ, always going to be a question. So we see the words scriptures and scripture and word of God all refer to the Bible, which is the book of books. And so we see the Bible is the scriptures of the word of God. We see the Bible is the word of God. But the Bible is also the Old and New Testaments. We talked about this just a little bit last week, and I'll give you this. And then we're going to be done. The Old Testament or Old Covenant was given at Mount Sinai and concerned the Jewish people. By the way, it didn't pertain to any other people other than the Old Testament people of the Jews. It didn't pertain to the Syrians. Now, it talked about them. It didn't pertain to the Assyrians, although it talked about them. But you know who was subject to the Old Testament law? The Jews. They were subject to that. The old covenant was given at Mount Sinai and concerned the Jewish people. The New Testament, new covenant, was made in the upper room. It was sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross and concerns New Testament Christians. Go to Matthew 26 and 28 with me. Matthew 26. What is the Bible? It's the Old and New Testaments. And I talked much about that last week, so I'm not going to talk that much about it right now. Matthew 26. And notice verse number 28. Verse 27. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the what? The New Testament." You know what he's saying? This is the blood of the new covenant. The new way. The new agreement. The New Testament, which is shed for how many? Many. You know how many? Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how many. Whosoever believeth on him. That's how many. For many. For the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then turn over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. And we read this verse last week. And so I'm not going to elaborate much on this because we covered it last week. Hebrews chapter 9. Jesus said, hey, this is the cup of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9. And Hebrews chapter number 9, of course, the whole of the book of Hebrews is writing to the Jewish nation, trying to convince them that Jesus Christ is sufficient. The old law, the old priesthood is done away with in Christ. And so this is the new and living way. And the whole book of Hebrews is written to convince them of that fact. Hebrews chapter number 9, notice verse 15, and we read this last week. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the what? New Testament, the new agreement, the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the what? First Testament. What is that? The Old Testament. What was going on with that First Testament? It was death, by means of death. The redemption of the transgressions that were under the first. That was deathly. Why? If they didn't keep it, they were doomed. And if they didn't get an animal sacrifice, they were doomed. If they didn't shed blood, they were doomed. If they didn't do that, they were doomed. But Jesus Christ said, you know what? It's over. I've got a new way, New Testament. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. By means of death, Jesus Christ's death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must be also necessity by the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool, hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the what? Testament, which God hath enjoined you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged without blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And so that's why Moses did what he did. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that was the old way, but Jesus Christ is the new way. And that's why it says what it says in verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. That's why Jesus at the Last Supper said, this is the blood of the New Testament. What am I saying? The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Scripture or the Scriptures. The Bible is the Old and New Testaments, and it's there for a reason. And God has left you and I to be something. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He left you and I to do something. Paul said, you know what? I am what I am by the grace of God. But he said, God left me for a reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice verse number 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the what? New Testament. What did Paul say? God sent us not to repeat the Old Testament, but to make us ministers of the New Testament. What is that? The blood of Jesus Christ. The new way. And who had the trust of that, as we've seen early? The church. The Jewish temple did not have that because it was taken away from them, and it was placed in the trust of the church. And Paul said, as being entrusted with this, God's made us ministers of the New Testament. Because Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He says down there, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. What is the letter speaking of? The law, but of the Spirit. Why? For the letter killeth. The law could only kill. It could not give life. But the Spirit giveth life. By the way, when you got saved, you got the Spirit of God. And you were made alive. The Spirit quickened you. But if the ministration of the death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Talking about the New Testament. For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. What is he talking about? The new way. And so when you come down to what the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Old and New Testaments. The Bible is the Scripture or the Scriptures. The Bible tells us of God's agreement with mankind. And it tells us who Jesus Christ is. And it tells us what you and I have to do with Him. One of the things that we're going to see the next time we look at this, as we know what is the Bible, is what's in the Bible. What's in the Bible? And I will tell you up front, before we talk about the message, what's in the Bible, the most important thing is the way. That's the most important thing about the Bible. So I can tell you a whole lot of places out there, but if I don't tell you the way how to get there, guess what? Doesn't do you any good. The most important thing about this book is the way to heaven and the way to avoid hell. That is, and it's by a person. Jesus said, I am the way. That is the most important thing about this book. And my friend, if you don't know that, if you miss that, you have missed everything about this book. You missed everything. The way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't miss the way. Don't miss that. This whole book testifies of him. He said, search the scriptures. He said, and then you think you have eternal life. There they was testifying me. He said, you do greatly err. You err. You're going the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Why? This book gives us the mind of God, the purpose of God to reveal the Son of God, gives you the way to avoid hell and the way to heaven. Hey, I invite you this morning. Don't be the statistics. Don't say that you know the way when you really don't know the way. Come and trust him. Don't trust me. Trust Jesus Christ, because it all points to him. And once you get him, don't try to go your own way. The charge of the direction was given to the church, handed over from Israel because of their error, and the church now has the charge of that. By the way, give you just a bit of trivia fact. God has never left his people without a shepherd.
You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam was the shepherd. You come down. Noah was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Joseph was a shepherd. They came over to the kings. David was a shepherd. Saul was a shepherd. The prophets were shepherds. The priests were shepherds. They were bad shepherds. God took it away from them. Jesus came in as the chief shepherd and the true shepherd, died for the sheep, gave it to the church and left pastors and teachers as the shepherds. And guess what? Jesus Christ is coming back to shepherd. God never left his people without direction. He always left them with a shepherd from the beginning unto the end. And there are a lot of shepherdless people out there that don't have any direction, trying to find it their own way. And you can't. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Well, I'm following the chief shepherd. No, you're not, because the chief shepherd died for the church and left the under shepherds. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
You check every New Testament epistle was written to a church, or either to give instruction to someone that was in charge of a church or a group of believers. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the day. God, help us. We don't want to err. We don't want to be like the Jews were, trying to go our own way. You've left us the Bible. But Lord, the Bible is the word of God. It's the word of the Lord. It's the scriptures. It's scripture. It's the Old and New Testaments. And you gave us the First Testament, and we could not keep it. The Jews could not keep it. And so you gave us the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you gave us under shepherds. You gave us pastors. And you gave us those that would guide and direct and lead us. Lord, we cannot understand it without having that direction. I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. Or perhaps there's one that's in error. They need to repent of their sin and get things right with God. Perhaps there's one that's erring in the way of salvation. Lord, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, perhaps there's one of us that is taking his Bible for granted. It's the word of God. It's the word of the Lord. It's the scripture of the scriptures. It's the Old and New Testaments. God, help us never to take the Bible for granted. Help us never to read it just to get through with it. Lord, help us to read it to passionately understand your heart, to passionately understand your mind, to passionately have you reveal to us our own sinful and wicked heart, that we may do the things that please you. Lord, I'm so thankful that the testimony was given to you. I do always those things that please him. Help us to please you. And it's going to be pleasing you by following you in the word of God. Lord, help us to guide our lives by the Spirit's call according to the word of God, and help us not to err. Help that one to get saved. Help those struggling to find the true way. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. How many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm absolutely sure I'd go to heaven. There is no doubt in my mind. I know God is my Savior. You'd raise your hand testifying to the goodness of God. As the song said, God's been good. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. But now, rhetorical question. How is your following and understanding of God's word? Are you reading it passionately to understand his heart? Because his heart is going to tell you the way. And by the way, Jesus died for the church. And so you cannot be right with God if you're not following God's way. Maybe God is calling you to do something. Maybe he's calling you to repent of something. Maybe you're not treating your brother man the way you should. Maybe you're not treating your boss the way you should. Maybe your wife, maybe your husband, maybe your children. This book tells you how to do that. Maybe you're not operating in your local church the way you ought to. This book tells you how to do that. Maybe you're not surrendering your talents, your time, your treasures. This book tells you how to do that. Well, preacher, I'm going to do it my way. Your way must be God's way. If it's not God's way, it's not acceptable. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Make sure you divide it rightly. Father, bless. Maybe there's a Christian struggling today with sin. Maybe there's a Christian struggling with a relationship problem. Maybe there's a Christian struggling with your will. God, show them what you would have them to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around as Miss Natasha plays the hymn of invitation. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe, as Jesus said, he's questioning your reading about the Bible. He said, you never read in the scriptures? Have you never read this? Or maybe Jesus would say to you, you're erring. not knowing the Bible or the scriptures. Maybe you need to come. Or maybe Jesus has pointed out to you the scriptures point to him and he is eternal life. Maybe, or just maybe, you're confused about what the Bible is. The Bible is a compilation of 66 books written over 1,500 years, 40 different authors, written to depict God's will to his people, written to the Jews first and foremost, but it also gives us practical tips and guides and principles to live by. The Gospels tell us Jesus Christ is here, and Jesus Christ tells us he is the way. The epistles tell the church how to live until Jesus comes again. And we can't be right with God without the Bible, without obeying what it tells us to do. Maybe you need to come and pray about your relationship to the Word of God. Maybe your relationship with what God is saying in his book, the Bible, to you. Oh, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes deep. Cuts, but that's the Spirit's job. Piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It gets deep down, understands where no one can see. And of the joints and marrow. As a discerner, the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's your thoughts this morning? What's your intents this morning? God already knows. And I pray it's according to his will. Because if it's not, you won't have peace. You won't have peace. Let God speak to your heart. Say, preacher, but I thought I was right. Don't think no. Thought I was doing right. Don't think no. The Jews also thought they were doing right, but Jesus said, I'm going to take away your nation and give it to another. And he gave it to the church. But church, are we doing our job? Are we being the witnesses that we need to be? Are we giving people the truth? Are we correcting error? And by the way, you can only correct error where someone wants to be corrected. Otherwise, you're casting your pearls before swine. When someone really wants to be corrected, church, are we helping? Are we giving? Are we showing? Are we rescuing? The only reason Jesus Christ left us here is to be a witness. Are we winning souls? Telling others about Jesus Christ, how to be born again. That's what it's all about. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Father, thank you. You left us the Bible, the Word of God. And oh God, thank you so much for loving us and showing us the reality of Scripture. Lord, it's all right here. We just have to read it in its context and know how to apply it to our lives, or we will be like the Jews. And we will err. We will go astray. God, help us not to go astray. None of us like being wrong. But if we're not careful, Lord, we can err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Work in our hearts. Help us to understand what the Bible is. It's the word of God. It's the word of the Lord. It's the scripture. It's the scriptures. It's the old. It's the New Testaments. And Lord, you've given it to us for a reason. So help us to know the way. Lord, if we don't know the way, we're missing everything. I pray if there's a man, a woman, or a boy or girl here that has not trusted Jesus Christ, they've not been born again, they would trust him today as the way, because that is the only way to avoid hell. At the end of the day, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless now the remainder of today. God, bring us back tonight to see how loyalty plays in our relationship with Almighty God, and how being loyal is what you demand and command of us. You want us to be loyal to you because you're loyal to us. And then our relationships that we have help us to be loyal in those relationships. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Dismiss us with your blessings. Encourage us much that we don't take our Bibles, the Word of God, lightly. But we'll stand for the Bible, the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Pastor White, would you come and let us know the announcements are there? And